What up, everybody? It's Double G for the Fight Game podcast here along with John LaRocca to talk about the insanity that is AEW right now, as well as AEW Dynamite. And I'm going to walk through kind of the weekend, the F4W weekend of being in Chicago, because we went to a lot of events. We met a lot of folks. And John, you know, if as I'm sort of telling this story, just pop in whenever you want to with any thoughts or questions or whatever. But you know what's funny? Even before I get there, you know, Facebook memories. Like Facebook memories is really great. Like when pictures of your kids come up.
Yeah.
You know, old photos from yesteryear. It's really bad when it's like your status from 9 years ago, which is like idiotic. I saw a Facebook memory today, and it was you and I from 4 years ago talking about the Mae Young Classic on the earlier, one of the earliest versions of the Fight Game podcast. So that put a smile on my face. I can't even imagine what the show sounded like at that point. You had said, one of like your match of the week was like, it was like Filthy Tom against, gosh, who was it against? I should go back and find it, but I can't remember. It was like Filthy Tom against somebody's another indie worker from 2018 or so. But it's kind of put a smile on my face. It just reminded me like how long we've been doing this.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was a great match too, with Filthy Tom. And
absolutely,
indie worker for 2018.
I got to hang out with Filthy Tom a little bit this weekend, but I'll talk about that when we go through all the stuff from the weekend. Folks who listen to this show, if you were out there in Chicago or technically Schaumburg, Illinois, I had an absolute blast, especially, you know, there are people that I've met before and then you sort of see every time we do this thing and they show up and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, and it's really cool. But there's like so many new people that I met too and, you know, just wanted to ask questions. And so if I met you over the weekend or if we kind of like, you know, we're in the same area, it was awesome. Had a good time. I mean, I just like meeting people. I ran internet community for a lot of my career, so I have no problem going up to somebody who's possible only know them by a name and maybe a screenshot of a photo of some sort. So I'm very game to meeting folks. But let's start at Friday. Of course, our friend Jeremy Finestone and I flew out. We did not fly out with Big Dave this time. This is like the first time, gosh, maybe in a few years that I haven't flown on the same flight as Big Dave, so it was kind of missed him. You know,
at least he had that much responsibility, making sure he gets to the right terminal, make sure he takes his shoes off. You know, sounds like a thing.
But you know, usually that's like that Friday morning, like he's so tired from doing the Observer, but there's this like gleam in his eye where, you know, for like an hour, he just wants to talk about wrestling and you wonder like, wow, this guy, like he just loves this stuff. So I missed that, but I did read the Observer on the flight, long flight to and from Chicago. Jeremy and I were pretty beat up from the trip. I'm still feeling it. Some of it is this crazy heat that we're dealing with out here in the Bay Area, but also just, you know, just dealing with the, not even jet lag, just like my body is still sore from all the flying. So Friday, we finally get in, and the great John Muse, who was like a lifesaver over the weekend, picked us up, and we went back to our hotel, and then we went to Rampage. Now, I think you said on our Patreon that we did the other night that you only last like one match, and then you were done with Rampage?
Yeah, I was trying to watch it, but I fell asleep. Like I wasn't into the six-man opener, it was just ridiculous, but then I started and I don't know what happened after that, and I just remember just like conking out and waking up and it was over and I just went to bed
basically. Yeah, it was not great. The match that you saw was the best one, but I was like gobsmacked that We hadn't seen Hangman in a little while in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He gets called out in a promo by CM Punk, and like he was like, "Huh? What'd I do? I'm not even doing anything. I'm not even on the show." And his first match, the first 5 minutes was all comedy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
That frustrated me so much.
Or just how he got on that team, like the Dynamite before we talked about it.
Yeah.
Strolls on in. Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, no big reveal. No, Hangman, please, can you help us?
No, like, wow, what a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
nothing like that.
So the rest of Rampage was pretty frustrating, but we did actually go up in the suite, so we got to hang out. That's where I saw Dave, and we were watching the Serena Williams, her last tennis match on the phone while we were watching the Rampage show. And, you know, Tony Khan has readily admitted that Rampage needs work, and he is going to. They're going to do some live ones coming up in October. I think almost every October Rampage is going to be live, except for one. Great, because that was a rough live show. I don't know how many dark matches Jeremy and I sat through before we decided to walk around. It was like three or four, and we were like, "I can't do it." Like, luckily, I walked in and saw Dr. Keith Lipinski, who I've been following on Facebook over the years. I may have even met him once over the 17 years that I've been on this website. So it was good to kind of catch up with him and just chit chat with him. And then one of Dave's best friends, John Kerry, was there, so I got to see him. And then we went up to the suite, just hung out with Dave and watch the show. John from Memphis was there in the suite as well. So I always like talking to him because he cracks me up. And I get to rub it in a little bit about the Warriors beating the Memphis Grizzlies there in the NBA playoffs. But then after that, so this and you're going to be surprised because this was a much better show than the Rampage one that I saw, which was the GCW show.
Yeah, you guys went to another show?
And the reason we went is because Brian Alvarez.
That's right. That's right. He had wrestled.
Was wrestling in a mixed tag against Filthy Tom Lawler.
And that was good.
The match was fun. It was. You know, Brian is, he plays up the heel role. Know, you booked him and you've seen his heel act.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Ton of fun. He's, you know, he gets the crowd and they enjoy booing him, right? Like that's a lot of fun for that crowd to boo him. But they played a little rib on us. So the F4W tickets to this GCW show, right in the front row, hard cam, so that just meant everyone who was going to do their dive was going right on our laps. So we just had to keep getting up. Moving around, there was a moment in a match in one of the matches where Marco Stunt got press slammed and thrown, I would say, about 7 or 8 rows deep. But there weren't 7 or 8 rows, so it was over the entire chairs set up. And the idea was that Dave would be on camera with his eyes following Marco Stunt go over his head, but we were out of dodge on that one too, so they didn't get their spot. They didn't get their spot on TV.
Dave should have caught him and threw him back.
This show, like I said last year, we went to All Out. Not my cup of tea when it comes to the style of wrestling, but the thing that I always really enjoy is just how hot that crowd is for their guys. You know, Nick Gage came out, him and Mox, they went face to face, and the whole storyline is that Mox wants to beat Nick Gage to kind of save him from himself. And it's like title versus career. And so then there were some other matches that were pretty fun. There was a Lucha, I think it was a Trios match. And it was, you know, they didn't hit everything perfectly, but man, like to see the speed and to see some of these moves and how close these guys get to hitting their heads on stuff is pretty amazing. Like just the visual of being that close, of guys going that fast and just just the athleticism was pretty nuts. But overall, that was fun. And then, you know, we kind of hung out after and I texted you because Jacob Fatu was back there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he knows that he saw that I was from the Bay Area. So I was, you know, I was really, we were already ooses by then. But I was like, hey, I know somebody that you know, one of my really good friends, John LaRocca. And he goes, oh, you mean Oos? I was like, yep, yeah, Oos. And
I'm so, official Oos, bro.
So we
bit Fatu family.
So we got to talk. We talked a little bit about you and
he was one of the
stars of the weekend, from what I understand. Had a good weekend himself, and I'm just kind of wondering, like, you know, when's this guy gonna show up on some of the TV shows that we watch? Because he's so freaking talented.
He's got to get out of that damn MLW contract. You know, once he's out of that, I'm Tony Khan, I'm definitely picking him up, right?
Yeah.
WWE, I guess there's some stuff in his past that they maybe don't want to touch, from what was sort of I heard, but you know,
he can't be in Twitter insanity seemingly every other month like Matt Riddle, though.
He's not even on it.
Yeah.
No, man, all that stuff's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Jacob's a real good guy, and he always put on a hell of an effort for us and was always so positive. I don't think I don't remember anything negative with him. You know, he just went out there and did his thing, and you kind of tell him, like, maybe can't kick back once in a while on some of the stuff, but I'm going to do that flip over the top rope, no problem.
Oh, my God. And he's got one of the best finishers in all of wrestling.
Dude, he's an amazing, amazing talent. So, yeah, I hope he does show up in AEW whenever his contract. And I think he signed like a long deal to like 7 years.
Or something. Oh, my God.
I think it was something like that.
That is a very long deal.
Yeah, hopefully it's decent money, but I don't know. MLW might be Taco Bell Border Bucks or.
Oh, my God.
Who knows what they give out on that deal?
So Brian and Tom had a fun match, and Brian lost to the stump puller.
Cool.
Tom, you know, pulled his hamstrings over his head to win the match. Killer Kelly was on Tom's side, and there was a young girl, and I'm not using that word like
Billy Starks,
pro wrestling, you know, people use the word girl. Yeah. She is 17 years old, which I didn't even realize until someone told me after.
Yeah.
And she is not like the wrestling in-ring piece of it is like, you know, it's not there yet. But what a personality, man. She's got some charisma on her. She already sort of understood, you know, that crowd. And she was on the outside a couple times and kind of, you know, not really communicating with them vocally, but just visually. And I was like, man, she's, you know, she's mm-hmm. wise beyond her years. So if she can sort of figure out the wrestling thing.
Stay healthy, too.
Yeah.
She takes pretty big risks. I mean, she's, I never seen that clip of her jumping on top rope and just landing on that chair to the floor.
Dude.
And like just crashing. And she's like, you know, what, 125 maybe?
Yeah.
You know? So gotta be careful.
So then we had a long, long day. I think I want to say I was up by 4 and we finally probably went to bed about 1 or 2. So I was almost up the full 24. And then we had the Q&A with Dave and Brian the next morning, which is always fun. I get to, I'm not technically the MC, but I kind of hold the mic so people can ask their questions. And Denise Salcedo was there. Denise had a really good weekend, especially with her YouTube channels blowing up with the Scrum videos.
Yeah.
Shout out to Denise. And she does this open for the Q&A. She's like the Howard Finkel of the Q&A. And so she says, you know, people who have their questions, you know, come near me. I'm holding the mic. And then she says, and Garrett will give you the mic so you can ask your question. And then I spoke into the mic and said, I'm not Tony Schiavone. I am not giving up my mic. So you are going to ask your question while I hold it. But yeah, it was fun. You know, there was a lot of cool questions. And again, like that's where I met a lot of people. Martin, who came all the way from, gosh, where did he say? I think he's from Ireland, but I don't exactly remember where. And he had a sign to the AEW show that said something to the effect of like, this is Cardiff, right? Or something like that.
No, that's funny.
And so then, so that was cool. And that's always a blast. And just seeing Dave and Brian sort of in that dynamic, you know, there was, I don't know how many people were there, 60, 80, something like that. So that was cool. You know, I've done that 100 times already, but it's still fun because, you know, someone will ask some questions, and there was a question asked about Joel Watts, who is now Joel Armstrong.
Yeah.
And the question was like, you know, Dave, are you going to reach out to this guy? I guess he's in the Bay Area. I don't know if that's 100% true, but Dave was like, yeah, I don't know. Someone has their phone number, send it to me and I'll call him. And so then, like, later that day, I get a text from none other than our friend Nick Mahmood.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, here's Joel's number. Send it to Dave. How does Nick know everybody?
Somehow, some way. What does he work for, a production company out here in the Bay Area or something?
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
Mm.
So I sent it to Dave, and I guess Dave's going to try to give him a call. I don't know. You think he's going to take a cold call? Dave just calls him up. Hey, what's going on? Who is this?
Yeah. Oh, man, I've been running from the Watts team for a long time. Now I really don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. It's interesting, though, right? Like, God, yeah. talk about a fountain of information for what all the stuff that we do. Like, I'm sure it would be tremendous if Dave and I could get him on Wrestling Observer Radio.
I mean, he hasn't been interviewed in a very long time, so I think it'd be a very interesting interview for sure.
So after the Q&A, there was this urgency to get to the suite because we had to watch Clash at the Castle. And so Jeremy, he's got his Amazon Fire Stick and he's setting it all up. And, you know, Dave, everyone's taking care of Dave here because this is like Dave's thing, right? He's got to watch this stuff because he's got to write his report. And so watching the show, I think you can like pause on Peacock now. So we were able to start watching like maybe a half an hour late, but you didn't have to like start live. You could like start at the beginning. So that was cool. And so we're watching the stuff, and I was hungry. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go get some food. And so then as Jeremy and I went to go get some lunch, I guess the Gunther and Sheamus match had happened. And
yeah.
So we're done, and we're walking back, and we see Brian and Filthy Tom, and Brian's like, oh, yeah, you know, it sounds like Gunther and Sheamus is really good. So good that when we go back up, everyone who's there is just going to watch it all over again.
So, yeah, it was a really good match.
So we go back, and the people who were watching just watch the match all over again.
Oh, no.
I mean,
it's a good match.
It's a good match, but, you know, the way that I watch wrestling, I would have been like, really, nope. Guys, can we just get, like let's keep
maybe
going.
Maybe Dave missed something. You know how sometimes when we watch the shit, shows at his house. And he's like, oh, yeah, I gotta go back and rewind that. Like, oh, man, the show's already 5 fucking hours, Dave.
Exactly.
But, you know, he has to have everything down, you know.
So. All right, so you know, that was a really good show. A lot of people were really bummed that Roman won, and I wasn't bummed because I want them to do whatever storyline that they've been planning, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the Vince kind of cornered them with their booking with this show, and supposedly it was, you know, Drew was always going to lose at this show. So,
yeah.
I just wish they could have found a way to, like, both of them to win. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you could have done that, but... you know, we get to see Solo Sikoa come out, so that was cool. And then, so the other thing that's kind of hanging around all Friday and all Saturday is Dave goes, I think Tony wants to do the interview. And if people remember from Double or Nothing, that was like the constant thing then, too. And then the MJF stuff was happening, and so we just kept get putting pushback, and then it never happened. And so since then, like, it was supposed to happen a couple times and it never happened, you know, just doing it during a regular week. So finally he's like, you know, I don't want to tell you because just in case it doesn't happen, but, you know, I had my stuff, I was ready anyway. So we kind of get pushed out, and then finally at, it was like 7 o'clock or whatever, we're ready to go, 6 or 7. And Tony is so jazzed, and Tony's just got a lot of energy just in general. That's just his general personality. But he hadn't seen Dave in a while, and we hadn't done an interview in a while, and he was very, you know, he was very excited about this show, like overly excited about the show. And so we're talking, and we did about 45 minutes where I didn't even turn on the recorder, which would have been the best wrestling podcast of all time. Like, because he's just a wrestling fan. He's like a giant wrestling nerd like the rest of us, right? So then we finally turn on the recorder, and then he goes into promoter mode. And he's, like, not even really answering the question. He's just kind of, like, getting all of his shit in. This is, like, an indie match where he's got to get everything in. And then finally, we took a break, and he went to use the restroom, and he comes back, and he's got some great news. All Out is now $1 million gate. And from that moment on, I thought the interview was awesome. But we had to get through, like, the first 40 minutes of him just being in promoter mode, like, talking about why he's so happy about the show and why it's going to be so great and his roster's so great and blah, 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 blah. I made one error in this interview, and we were in a chat thing, and I was explaining to people why I was kind of frustrated at myself. But Dave asks him about Brett and Sean. You know, there's a little bit of, like, a inside thing, like a little bit of work shoot going on with some of these promos. And Tony, I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something about it's like intriguing to fans, like it makes their ears perk up or whatever. And I had the opportunity to say, okay, but what happens if it goes too far? And I didn't say it, and I should have said it, because it would have been the quote of the whole weekend based on what happened on Sunday night. Anyway, show with Tony was good. Some people thought it was really good. Some people thought he was in promoter mode too much, and we should have asked him all these questions about creative. And I'm trying to explain to them, like, you don't, like, that's not how you do this show. Like, you don't go, well, how come you're not pushing this guy? And how come you're not pushing that guy? Like, that's not how you do that show. So anyways, I think most people understood kind of how you have to attack that thing. And plus, Dave is a business guy, so he wants no business. So then we're done with that. We were late to the pizza party, and we essentially missed the whole pizza party. But there were a few people left, and so we're just kind of shooting the stuff. And then John Muse and Jeremy and myself and one of the other guys who was there. Gosh, what was I forget his name. He also, I think he writes a little bit for Voices of Wrestling as well. Boston Celtics fan. I've talked to him a bunch of times. He should be mad that I just, his name is escaping me. And there was a wrestling show that weekend with a lot of the TNA guys. So, you know, we're in the bar, just chit chatting. And there's like one bartender, and it's about 11 o'clock. And all of a sudden, all the wrestlers and the female wrestlers and everybody comes over, and this poor woman all by herself is like, it's like you have to wait like a half an hour for a drink. But, you know, you see Cardona, and he's jacked to the gills, and John Morrison comes through, and John Muse is just sitting down, and Morrison, like, I think Morrison thought John Muse, like, put his hand up for a high five, but John Muse didn't, and so Morrison walks by, like, as if John Muse, like, is stiffing him on the high five, and so we're like, what's going on here? This is really weird. Taya is there. Chelsea is there. A couple other folks are there. So that, you know, it's always kind of weird. It looks like a cartoon world when you see all these giant wrestlers, you know,
Was it the same venue? Were you guys at the show or something like that?
No, this is in the hotel. There was a wrestling show
at the hotel
that they were doing. I had seen Deanna Perazzo, who I had interviewed before, and I just asked her, you know, what was going on? And she's like, yeah, they're doing the show right in here. And so she was there as well. And then the next day is All Out. And the entire day we're trying to figure out Brazilian steakhouse, Korean barbecue. Dave will always choose Korean barbecue. Brian will always choose Brazilian steakhouse. We go Korean barbecue first. They don't really care for having big parties. They also don't really care for hospitality of a restaurant. They're like, oh, yeah, You guys are on the wait list now. Just go wait outside. And we're like, wait outside. So then somebody made a call. It's like, okay, let's do the Brazilian steakhouse. So then we just left and we did the Brazilian steakhouse and had food there. And I think when we were done, and that's where JD Oliva had met us there. And so that I got to spend some time with JD, which is also great, host of with Mike Gilbert of Brace for Impact. And well, I'm actually going to bring both of those guys on this show with us. Well, not with you necessarily, but to kind of, I'm going to record a segment with them on one of the next big Impact shows. So I don't know exactly when that is, but we'll sort of nail it down because I want to bring them on because they're so fun to talk to about this stuff. And then, so Brazilian Steakhouse happens, and when we leave, we're like, did we get upcharged or something? Like, it was a little bit more expensive per person than it normally was. And so Corey Lieb, who's basically plays Kim Chi to Dave's Kamala on these trips, like, he's just the handler. Like, it's like, all right, Dave needs to go here. Boom, Corey's on it. Like, I think Tony Leader may have, like, hired Corey to do this for Dave. And it's like, Corey's just on it. Corey's everywhere. Yep. We got to go. Oh, don't worry. I got it. I'm going to get them on the phone. And he's just on it. So Corey goes, the waiter had asked Corey, like, do you guys come here often? And Corey was like, no, not really. And then he kind of, the guy was like, I think the guy was just waiting for Corey to say yes. I don't know if there was like a frequent guest discount or something, but yeah, for whatever, I think we all got charged like $10 extra for our meal.
Huh.
So that was kind of weird.
Weird.
So then All Out happens. Everyone saw that pay-per-view. Interesting thing, though, and I want to get your thoughts about this. So after the House of Black match, Malakai Black kind of does a little bit of a bow and blows a kiss to the crowd. And there were rumors that, you know, he had possibly asked for his release, and there was also a rumor that AEW had said no, and then there was also a rumor that maybe, you know, he and his wife wanted to be closer together. So whatever that was, and I think today it just came out that, you know, for whatever it was, he has, you know, he just asked for the release, and they granted it, I guess, this just today.
But didn't it say highly conditional release or something like that?
I don't know exactly, and who knows if
that was in quotes. So I was wondering, like, what does that mean? Like, is they release him, and but he can't show up in WWE for a certain amount of time, or because is he?
That would be my guess, right?
Yeah,
like you're not just gonna let that dude go so that he can show up on TV on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure there's this must be what a 90-day clause or something. I would think. Something, a standard 90-day clause, I would think. Just because, yeah, you don't want him showing up, but and I would think, I don't know him, you know what, but I'm sure he's okay with taking some time off. And then,
yeah, because he's been hurt as well, right? He's had some injuries stuff, back stuff or something.
That's what was reported, yeah. So he can probably take some time off. And also, like, WWE's been debuting a bunch of acts, like, almost every show.
Yeah, it'd be perfect for him.
So kind of let that cool down, and then he can have the spotlight to himself when he debuts, right? And it won't be like just another person debuting this week. So,
one thing I forgot to mention before we went to All Out, Worlds Collide was on. So, of course, we had to get the old Fire Stick going.
I was about to say, did you watch Worlds Collide too?
I don't think they finished it because I was handling the bus. Not handling, but I was going on the bus. Me and Brian Rose were there from the website just to make sure the bus was good. I think we may have taken the wrong bus and we just made the guy take us to the arena. Like, something had happened, but whatever. Well, there was some miscommunication. He was really mad that we were telling him what to do. But then, so I had to leave early, but I did get to see Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet, and I thought that was a really fun match.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was a little choreography in the beginning part, you know, it wasn't into the, but then it started picking up. It was good. I liked it. The best match of the night, I thought, was the main event, though, with Tyler Bate and Bron Breakker. That was really a lot of fun and really good.
Yeah, I still have to see that. I don't know if I'll watch anything else, but I definitely do want to watch that main event.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then, as we know, All Out happens. I thought, for the most part, All Out was a good show. There was like a spot after the tag team title match where it went a little dead, and unfortunately, that meant the match that I was second most looking forward to after Moxley and Punk was Jericho and Danielson. And it was a good technical wrestling match, but I think it was a little flat crowd-wise, which was kind of interesting. But the other one, the third most looked to match for me, was the most disappointing of the night, which was Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks. Man, I was like, Ricky Starks cut that crazy good promo like two or three weeks ago. He's all fired up. He's fighting for, everything. And Will Hobbs was his boy. And of course, he attacks the neck. That shows him that, Will Hobbs is no longer his boy. You don't attack the place where he's really hurt. And then they had a match. And I was just waiting for the babyface comeback, and it just never happened. And
Ricky Starks got beat flat,
man.
And I'm like, okay, like I thought they were gonna tell like the story that maybe Starks came back too soon.
Yeah, I didn't hear the announcing, so I don't.
They
know
didn't
if
really
they did.
Say too much about that, or really didn't talk about that too much, from what I remember. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm happy for Will, getting that big decisive win on a pay-per-view. I'm excited what they're gonna do next. And he's not on this Dynamite that we watched.
Nope.
And he's not on Rampage to advertise, at least. I don't know if he did like a pre-tape promo they're gonna show, but nothing at all.
Well, in some sense, I can't fault them, because they basically had to rebuild their entire TV based off of what happened.
True.
After, and so they created a tournament and the most looked forward to match in the first round, which was Danielson and Hangman. That match went like 25 minutes. So I'm sure. Go ahead.
Do you think it's more important to show Jose, the assistant, trying to recruit 10 from the Dark Order?
Yeah.
Or is it more important to show Powerhouse Hobbs highlights of him destroying Ricky Starks and cutting up, at least at the minimum, cutting a pre-tape promo, like Jungle Boy did.
Well, I agree with you. And I also thought, and we'll talk about this in a second, but I also thought they should have waited a week or two for the Jungle Boy thing, because he supposedly got his ass beat to the point of needed to be stretchered out. And then he's just fine sitting on a thing and yelling. So
Christian should have had his promo.
Yes.
With Luchasaurus there.
Yes. We can nitpick that stuff. But yeah, Hobbs. Did the guy look like a beast? But I didn't even think the finisher looked that great, because nobody in the crowd thought that was the finish. So the finish got over flat, because when I saw the spine buster, I was like, oh man, that was good. And then I was like, okay, what are they following up with? And I was like, oh, this match is over. What the hell?
They could have played it. They could have played the story better. Like, he's came back too soon. Maybe he came back without. Maybe he signed a waiver to get this match.
Yeah.
The doctors weren't clear, but he didn't. He signed a waiver to get in this match, and then, he's on fire. And all of a sudden, he grabs his neck, stumbles. Hobbs takes advantage and wins. And then maybe you stretch her out. You pull Ricky Starks afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. They could have done more to at least give you hope for Ricky Starks after this. After this, you're like, okay, well, that's Ricky Starks done now. What's next for Powerhouse Hobbs?
Yeah.
If it's just Wardlow, then, I want to see that match. If they built up right, it should be a big match. But I hope they don't rush that. I hope they give Hobbs some more decisive wins before he gets that big match.
Yeah. So then I leave and I go back on the bus, and we have a great conversation, just shooting the stuff about the show. And somebody's got the scrum on their phone going like, Punk is shooting on some people. And I was just like, oh God, what a dick. Like, that's just in my mind. That's what I was thinking, right? Like, God, this guy just got the title back. Moxley did the honors. It was a great match. They both worked their butts off. Fantastic ending to the show. And now we're going back to more drama, which at this point, you're just rolling your eyes at it, right? You're just like, come on, dude. Like, deal with that stuff in private, especially after you yelled at Hangman to do that in private on your promo. And so we're kind of just figuring out what's going on. And then he calls out Brian Alvarez on the thing, and he's like, and he tries to get Dave involved, and Dave's just like, "You tell me," which is shorthand for like, "Don't be trying to bring me into your story, dude. Like, I have nothing to do with this." So we're on, but you know, the bus ride was great. All those people were so fired up. They're so nice. They're just amazing, amazing subscribers. Thank you to all of them. And then I'm putting up some podcasts for that night before I go to bed, because we got to fly home the next morning. And it is, I'm just getting texts from people who are at the scrum going like, this thing is nuts, and I think something physical happened. And then I got a text that said, I think Matt Jackson and CM Punk may have gotten into something. And then I got another text that said, Ace Steel may have bitten Kenny Omega. And I was like, what? Bit? Like, actually took a bite?
It just kept getting more bizarre.
Which to me, because we knew what happened when the original Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara story started. It was, they had a fight. And it turns out it wasn't a fight. It was like, not even really a pie face. Like, it wasn't even really physical. And so that's kind of what the story evolved, the true story, what happened. So I was like, this is just kind of like the, you know, people are playing telephone and getting the story wrong. And I think that's the right story. Like, this dude took a chunk, you know, bit something. And did you see that great sign in the crowd today, which just, it was like a yellow sign, and all it said was "The Elite" on it. And then there was like a bite taken out of the corner of the sign.
That was amazing. I just liked all the stuff that was on. People getting really creative on social media and stuff. Oh, yeah. The Dark Side of the Ring was
I didn't watch it because I was sort of saving it. And then by the time the show started, I didn't have a chance to watch it, but I need to watch that. So then I put my shows up, still getting texts, and I was like, that's why I don't go to these scrums. Like, you can't even be a journalist at these things. But Andrew Zarin and I interviewed John Alba, who is an actual journalist and who kind of gave his man on the street vibe from that press conference. So from the scrum. So check out We're Live Pal. John had some great insight about what was going on as he was there. So and that was the weekend. And then, you know, we went home, had a long flight. I still don't feel 100% from just the longness of the weekend and the flight. But hey, man, I've already done, how many shows have we done? Like, it's just back in rhythm. So yeah, keep going. And then the NFL starts this weekend, and I'm doing a 49ers like live stream after the game for my other channel, the BSPN Bay Area Sports Channel. So
I think the first game's tomorrow.
Yeah, the Bills and the Rams first game on. I think that's on the Amazon, right? The Amazon app.
Yeah, Amazon. There's like games on Peacock. I saw. It's like, I'm set, man. Yeah. I don't need damn cable anymore.
We're going, man. All right, so let's talk about this Dynamite. There were a lot of things that I really liked, and I commend Tony Khan for being able to put this stuff together in a few days, knowing that this was not what his long-term plans were. But there were some other things that I kind of thought they could have done a little bit better. So the show starts with the whole MJF angle from All Out, which I personally really liked. I liked the way that they did it. I keep talking about, you know, I want the Dynamite cliffhanger so that I have to watch Rampage. And that was kind of what the pay-per-view was. You had this first match and you had that cliffhanger that you knew was going to pay off at the end of the show. So you were just waiting to see what happened at the end of the show. I thought they did that really well. And so they replayed the video package to start the show, which they don't normally do. They don't normally, as far as I remember, really talk about their pay-per-views on the next Dynamite. So I thought they did a really good job with that. And then Tony Khan has a pre-tape interview.
God bless Tony Khan. I just love that he used this before. Just, he's pure comedy gold, some of these on-screen performances.
As much as they've done the president, the general manager, the decision maker to death in professional wrestling, you know, let's blame WWE. They've just done it to death. It would be great if he had someone to do this for him.
Yes. And someone with the credibilities, people who could trust. And they just be a baby face. That's all he needs to be.
Yes.
This, whoever this authority figure is.
Yes.
Be a baby face. No, that's it. He's just a pure baby face. He's not like incompetent like Jack Tunney.
Yes.
He's just a someone like that's why they have freaking Steven Regal, William Regal there. Like just he should have been that role just like he was at NXT.
Yeah. So he says that they have to vacate the world title and the world trios title. But he doesn't say why.
No.
And I get some of that because there's like there could be some legal stuff, right? That you don't want to say, and then it could affect whatever's going on. But at least say something like, if you've been on the internet, you kind of know what's going on, so that people then go, oh, I need to find out what happened. Now, I don't know how much of AEW's audience is not that type of fan. I would imagine it's probably the minority. You know, maybe it's a 30% or whatever. But still, for those 30%, they had to be like, I just watched this pay-per-view. What the hell are you talking about? Why? Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so I was just confused as to why they didn't at least say something. And then he made the Death Triangle versus the Best Friends for the Trios title. Now, I understand why those were the teams because of the way the tournament was built. But my initial thought was, you're going to put another joke team in the title match, like in an important match.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. I didn't want to see the joke team in there. I wanted to see like the real serious team. Thankfully, they did all the jokes in the beginning, and then, you know, I didn't really like the match that much, but still, a lot of the Danhausen stuff was early, so okay, like, just get it out of the way. And then he had this other thing. He said, Grand Slam Tournament of Champions. It's a six-person tournament, so there are two matches in the wild card round.
Yeah.
Jericho and Moxley were already given byes to the semifinals. So on this show, we had Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson, winner faces Chris Jericho. And on the other side, we had Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin. They were going to have their match on Rampage, and the winner faces Jon Moxley. The winner of those matches then face off at Grand Slam to determine the AEW champion. So we get our moment with MJF. He comes out. He's wearing a Buffalo Bills Josh Allen jersey. He hugs Taz. He flips off Shivani and Excalibur. Mm-hmm. He goes up to one of the fans, gives him a hug. He gets on the mic and he's like, the devil is back. And he's doing this tongue-in-cheek cheerleading babyface thing, which I think was sort of a satire on CM Punk's babyface character because he was also not a babyface behind the scenes. I think that's what it was. He said he doesn't even have to be in this tournament because he has the chip to decide he can have the title match whenever he wants. Tony Khan paid him a lot of money. And then Jon Moxley comes out and basically calls him on his bullshit. He's like, you're full of crap. And the crowd boos Moxley. Moxley calls him out on his crap, and the crowd starts booing him. And then finally, MJF then heels on the fans. He can't take it anymore. He can't, he can't pretend anymore. And so he talks about the bidding war of 2024, and he says that when he wins the title, he could take the title to a real company, and so he can hang out with his hero, Cody Rhodes, or not his hero, but like his buddy. And he wants to work with the real Khan, Nick Khan. And he says, the game, Triple H is his hero. So obviously Mox is the anti-WWE guy, so it's kind of perfect. Though, I'm not really cool with all the WWE mentions, even though I know that MJF is sort of trying to play sort of the real life. Like, in a sense, he's talking honestly to the fans, right? He's like, this is how it is for us. Mm-hmm. We are talent. We have contracts. And when those contracts are up, now we're bidding, or now we're negotiating with both companies. Like, so he's actually speaking honestly. But it does make AEW look like a little bit of a lame duck company when he's talking about WWE.
Yeah, he didn't make him sound minor league for sure.
So then Mox tells him, he's like, dude, I'm not in the mood. It is not the place. It is not the time. And you better leave right now or I'll make you leave. MJF, and this was a good moment for him because you could tell he's been pumping the iron a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Takes the shirt off. Looks pretty jacked. Can't get one of the cuffs off. And then finally gets it off. He looks at Mox and then he decides to power walk all the way to the back, and then Mox tells him that his song sucks. So Mox says that he's pissed off, he's embarrassed, he's pissed off that he doesn't have the title. The title represents the passion of the sport and business. He says AEW represents letting the ugly side of the business die. He said he's supposed to be on vacation by now. But he blames himself for dropping the ball. And that's a shoot, by the way. I don't think he was supposed to be on this show.
No.
And he was probably going to not be on a few shows. I don't know how many, but he was probably going to be off TV for a little bit. He says that he dropped the ball. He missed the biggest shot. He puts everyone over in the title tournament. He called Jericho, essentially called Jericho the GOAT. He called Bryan Danielson the best wrestler he's ever seen. He wants the ball. He's the ace. He said it's time to be a legend. So the babyface promo of all babyface promos. And I'm wondering what you thought about this, because when you're looking at the brackets,
mm-hmm.
he's got to at least be in the final match, right? Yes. After this promo?
Yeah, it should be him and Danielson in the finals.
Okay, that's what I was thinking as well.
And that should cause some chaos with the Blackpool Combat Club when Danielson wins. Maybe he goes back to being heel.
Yes. Yes. And yeah. Danielson had a little cutesy thing at the end of the show today, too, that we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we had the opening trios title match here. Best Friends and Death Triangle. The reason why I'm so frustrated with the booking here is because Tony is very serious in this video, right? In this video package, he's very serious about...
He didn't blink.
About what they need to do. And then, you know, this title match, and I see Danhausen and I go,
yeah.
Why?
Like, or Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got his at the end, so I was fine with that. But yeah, still, like I wanted these guys to be like, man, this is our second opportunity to win these titles. We're not gonna let anything stop us, and we got goofy stuff in the beginning of this match.
Mm-hmm.
Triple Canadian Destroyer. What you think about that?
Stupid. There was a moment. It was, God, was it Trent? He was in the corner, and he starts chopping his way out. One, two chops. I think it was the Pack, and then Pack just grabs him and whips him off. So stupid. Like, this match is just a bunch of nonsense. These six man tags they do. It's just a bunch of moves and. I just saw this on Sunday, the same thing, basically, with just some extra goofiness with the Danhausen character, and, you know.
So they do the pile driver where Penta kind of gets the stuff pile driver, and Phoenix mm-hmm. steps on his back. And I was like, okay, are they going to pin him? Nope.
Nope.
Two dives out, and Chucky T still had to keep selling. And then the Black Arrow from Pack wins the match for them. So I'm like, out of the two teams, I would rather Pack have that title. He's now he's got two belts. He's got the trios belt and then that Mid Atlantic title or whatever it's called. What is it called?
No, it's because everyone describes that belt as that. Like, yeah. Everyone just in casual conversation, like that, whatever that title is that he has, Mid Atlantic. Like, that's what you should ask Tony. Like, what is this belt? Like, what was your goal with this belt?
Yeah, yeah.
Next time.
So then we get Shivani with Dark Order, and they want, so the Andrade team wants 10. To sign. They're like giving him contracts and stuff, and so Johnny Hungy is like, no, like, what are you doing here? Get out of here. And then Andrade comes out and You know, and then we have our put up your dukes moment, and then Andrade has a crutch, and he just gives the crutch to 10, and he walks away. So,
and they go, what is that all about?
Yeah, they are infiltrating the Dark Order here for
another turn for coming.
Group. Yeah,
turn number 17.
Yeah. So we had a short video package for the women's four way, which I liked because it's like, yeah, like you had this match and what happens from it. Like, I liked that. And then so there was a video that they played of Jamie Hayter being very angry at Britt for ruining her opportunity to win the belt. I thought Hayter came off a little bit like a crybaby, and Britt's like, I'm sorry. And so she was really mad. But I don't know. I thought, hey, I would have wanted Hayter to be more mad than like acting like a baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all these kind of pre-tape stuff. They just like quickly film something, and they don't think everything through, I think, you know, and really kind of try to go at the best angle. I think just kind of just get stuff done. We need this. Just like that Dark Order promo with Jose and Andrade and Roosh, right, coming up to him. It's just all rushed.
Yeah. So then we get Penelope with box over your head, Kip,
who went out and sat in the stands again.
Like that guy had the worst weekend, I think. He finally, like, we've had this like year long storyline that nobody cared about.
No one.
And then finally he gets his match and he just loses. And he just goes and back to box over the head.
Fucking bore fest of a match. Like, no one cares. It's just, that's it. He wrestled, lost. Now he's arguing with the box on his head at the end of it. Like, it's supposed to be some big deal that they only follow up on it this week. And why is he back with her? I mean, of course they were married, but
yeah,
that's so long ago. Like, they, I don't know. This may have been the times of having him come out. Then you start doing some vignettes with him talking to the box. But then we've been watching Raw 98 and we see the head stuff with Al Snow. And I don't know, man.
So someone whose opinion I respect very much, Oliver Kopp, who does the AEW German broadcast, he was like, how does Kip lose? Like, how do you bring him back for his first match and then have him lose? Like, he just wasted like a whole year of this guy's life to come back and lose the first match. Like, that to him, that was kind of mind boggling.
Well,
and then
he was really injured, right? And that's why he was taken off that's why he did the deal where Miro broke his arm. And so he's really hurt and he's recovering. Probably had this idea somehow about some box. I would love to know where the motivation was and all this stuff. And then he pitched to Tony, and Tony's like, yeah, whatever. Do what you want. You know, like, if you want to sit outside of the box for a whole year, that's fine. And then they did nothing with it. All of a sudden, they just tell you who it is. Yeah. Oh, that's Kip Sabian at ringside. Remember that one highlight from overseas, right? Where Pac was defending the title somewhere and Kip was in the front row. They just say, Kip Sabian with this box. All of a sudden, they just announced that one. It's just, they weren't behind it. It was just something Kip was doing, and now it's over, and there you go.
And I'll give you a second Nick Mahmood reference tonight. Because I think
that's his friends.
He's friendly with Kip, right? So
he's good friends with them. So
he was like, he was kind of bummed, I think, when that match happened.
I think there's some. I like them together, them two, right? Him and Penelope. I kind of wish they would just go back to that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they could do something with Ty and Sammy and all that. They're doing those mixed tag team title stuff, I guess. You know, for AAA, another belt that they have that's on their show.
So it was Penelope against Toni Storm, and she won with a counter to the Northern Lights suplex, and she turned it into a DDT. Mm-hmm. The question I have for you is, what was up with Penelope's makeup? Because she had like the crazy eye makeup, and then I think at some point smudged all over her cheeks or something.
I think it was either her lipstick or maybe it was Tony's lipstick kind of rubbed up against her cheek. That's what it looked like to me. I mean, I can't really judge this match. It kind of like started and went to break for most of it. And
like
it kind of ended.
Almost immediately.
She tried to do that. Tony Storm did that jump up DET. It just kind of didn't look that good. I think Penelope took that right. And
yeah, it wasn't great, but, you know,
It was just get over, you know, Tony Storm over.
Yeah, let's get Tony a win. She's the champ, and that was, you know, that was the way to do it. And I think for the most part, Penelope's best matches are against some of the more athletic women. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem with it, Tony is like her body type is like she's a little shorter. So sometimes, you know, when she's trying to do that like super athletic stuff, she's, you know, we talk about that pile driver that she was doing that didn't look great. I don't know. I there was something missing here, but I couldn't really put my finger on it. But ultimately, I just want to see them really get behind Tony if that's the plan. Because, you know, in that building at All Out, the only person that crowd wanted to see win was Jamie Hayter.
Yeah, it's true. For you, when you were watching the show, did you have audio issues? Like you couldn't hear the announcers?
No, I was fine.
Oh man, I felt like they were in the. I kept hearing the crowd noise higher than them, and I couldn't make out a lot of the stuff they were saying. And
you know when I have that issue is SmackDown.
Really?
The crowd is always way louder than the talking, and it's not even the announcers; it's the segments with the interviews. I can almost never hear what they're talking about because that fake crowd noise is piped in so loud.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, I know JR was on the show. Is there any reason he wasn't on the show?
Yeah. So that's what I was going to ask you, which is, did you miss him at all?
Oh, I would love his little comments. You know, I love when he makes. I love Grumpy JR on these shows. It's the best.
You know what's getting over? Even the folks who don't like JR. You know what's getting over is when Max Caster comes out and he goes, "Listen," and then JR repeats it. Like,
really? I've heard some people get upset, like they don't want him talking to her when this happens.
I think it's getting over. I think people missed it. You know, they're like,
you know what Max needs to do one time is just go to the desk. Exactly. And go listen. Give the mic to
JR.
Yeah. I like that. But you know, I missed JR. You're live at Rampage. You didn't hear. But my favorite part was when they announced the mixed tag match on the 0 Hour between Sammy, Tay, and
he's like
Ortiz.
Another match.
He goes. What was it, show 8 hours? God bless that.
CM Punk said the same thing at the end of the pay per view.
At the end of Scrum.
No. So he wins the match.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets a live mic. And he's like, he wanted to thank the fans because he's like, I know it's hard to sit through these 72-hour pay-per-views.
This is pretty long.
You know what, though? It was way shorter than Double or Nothing. I thought I was going to be really tired because I got kind of tired in Double or Nothing. But I was fine. It was like 4 hours for the main card, I think, right? Like almost on the dot?
It was 4 hours on the dot. And by the way, I'm going to give some praise to BR Live.
They did a good job.
They had the replay up right away.
Oh, that's good.
So
it only took them, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah. So they finally got their shit together over there. So that's good. So,
all right. So we got the 2.0 video package talking about Action Bronson and Hook setting. I guess they're going to have a match for Grand Slam. You know,
sounds like it.
I've heard the name Action Bronson a lot just because he's been around for a while, you know, especially, you know, in hip hop, the problem is that with no MTV anymore, you don't really know what some of these people look like. Like, I had no idea what Action Bronson looked like until he jumped the rail.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know what new artists are out there. I don't know where these people listen to this.
Well,
I saw
another one today. Daniel Garcia.
I was going to. Okay, let's talk about that when we get there. I had a lot of questions.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm ready. All right. So looks like they're going to have a match of some sort on Grand Slam. I don't know. Like Action Bronson during that match at All Out, he kind of tossed one of the guys and then he picked up the other one and kind of threw him. So I don't know if he has any actual wrestling training. I don't imagine he does, but maybe he knows how to do something or other.
You can get him to do a couple spots, you know.
Maybe he's training with Taz a little bit.
And the 2.0 guys are good, you know. Mm-hmm. They're good at, you know, making asses themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be short. It'll be really short.
Yeah. And then so you know, the word before the show was that he was actually going to wrap Hook to the ring, and then when he didn't, I was like, he's got to do something, right? He's there.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was jumping the rail, and then he jumped the rail.
Did he held out? He held out, huh?
Yeah.
So Tony, he's played hardball. Tony wasn't buying that. He thought, there's too much shit going on today. I don't need Action Bronson to give me crap.
All right. So then the Acclaim comes out, and before Max could even get started, because you know, he was gonna have to rap about what was happening. Swerve comes out with the Swerve in Our Glory music, cuts him off.
This is great.
And then so it was announced actually earlier in the show that they're rematching at Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. And so Swerve said that he doesn't want to hear any of Max's stupid rap jokes. And he said, here's a joke. We're the tag team champs. And he starts laughing. And I was like, did you really want to say that's a joke? Like, you guys are the champs. Is that a joke?
Let me just say, what it started hell? Off. I know, it was stupid. It was stupid. This segment started off with so much promise.
Yeah.
The huge pop for the Acclaimed, right? You can see Max Caster just like, oh, fuck, we're over, right? You know, that match at the pay-per-view was really good, and it just made them bigger stars, right, in my opinion.
Yep.
And then you could tell, like, this, oh, man, these guys are over. And then Max starts doing his thing, listen, and then cut off. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And I thought this petered out after that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Swerve didn't really have any material. And there's no Keith Lee there. It was just him. And so...
We established that he takes a long time to get to the ring. So maybe he's still walking.
Yeah, maybe. He's like, guys, wait up.
Yeah.
Hold on.
The damn Swerve. He's quick.
But I thought they got it back because Billy Gunn then cuts off Swerve and he says it's not Swerve's house, it's Daddy Ass's house. And then Buffalo just went nuts again.
Yeah.
And then Bowen said that they're going to get the straps because everyone loves the Acclaimed. Now, I have a story for you. So our friend in our Facebook group, Brady Childs, he asks if someone went up to Dave and said, scissor me, would Dave stick out the two fingers? And I was like, I don't know. I'll ask him. And I made a joke and I said, you know, when Dave does a handshake, he does the wrestler like soft handshake, right? Like if you ever shaken Dave's hand, like he does a soft handshake. He doesn't do like the firm handshake. He does the wrestler's handshake. And I said, maybe he's going to do the soft scissor. Like maybe he's going to do the wrestler's version handshake of the scissor. And so then I asked him, we were at the pizza party, which had sort of already ended and there were just people there. And I said, hey, you know, somebody asked me to ask you this question. Like, if a wrestling fan came up to you and said, scissor me daddy, like, would you do it? He's like, yeah, of course. Why not? So if you want to scissor with Dave, he said yes. So go for it.
That's going to be on Max Caster's next rap.
Oh, man. The whole scissor me thing is just ridiculous. It's like so stupid and it's over and... It's like the 2022 version of the crotch chop and suck it. It's like, what are we doing? But it's over. So what am I going to say?
Child change on the 21st, right?
I think you got to.
I think you got to.
And I think you do the heel turn or the, you know, the tag team breaking up.
Yep, definitely.
All right. So we got a Chris Jericho interview where I think he screwed up.
Yep. Spoiler alert.
I like the way he started it, though. He was like, you know, Ponce de Leon once looked for the Fountain of Youth and he couldn't find it. But Corazon de Leon did in 2022, and I'm the best I've ever been. They shouted out his little brothers, Sammy and Garcia, and they reminded us that, you know, Daniel Garcia would not have the JAS at ringside. But then he said that he was going to wrestle Bryan Danielson, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to rewind that. I was like, wait a second. And he didn't say it like, I'm confident that he's going to beat Hangman and I'm going to be wrestling him. He's like, no, I'm wrestling him. So, yeah. And the commentators tried it. I did hear that. Like, they were saying, like, you know, did they say Jericho's confident that he's going to face Danielson?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they tried their best. But Classic.
Yeah. Live TV, buddy.
You know, I'm not going to be like Crockett. But, hey, we're more like WCW at this point.
But it would have been great if Jericho just turns to Shivani and goes, hey, can we start that again?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Shivani
yeah,
just
yeah.
goes, hey, we're live, pal.
And then you had that little clip on your show.
Exactly.
I think Shivani should jump in and say, well, what about Hangman? He's just sitting there holding the mic.
Yeah, he's got to be thinking on his feet. Come on, yeah. Tony.
Well, he's so busy running back and forth, commentary, too.
Exactly.
And interviewing.
Exactly. He's got like the golf cart getting him to and from. So, you know, everyone thinks that JR really told Sid Vicious, we're live, pal. He didn't say we're live, pal. He said it's live, pal.
Mm-hmm.
But we called that show We're Live, Pal, just because there was like three of us and it just works better. But even the Young Bucks and Kenny, when they did that a couple times, they said, we're live, pal. So I feel a little bad because the real line is it's live. The real line that we are stealing is it's live, pal. But we put the war in front of there. So, but I dig it. Every time someone screws up, I'm hoping that moment comes back. But no one, there's no Sid Vicious's left, so it won't happen.
We have to put that in the Wrestling Observer trivia board game.
Exactly. Exactly. So imagine, because like, I don't know if did you used to listen to Dave's old Iyata show?
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Well, he used to have like these hard-ass trivia questions. The hardest trivia questions. He'd go through like 20 emails before someone actually got it right.
I remember I called in like twice or something.
Did you really?
Yeah, talked to Vampiro one time. I think it was. Yeah.
You gotta find those tapes, man. People still have those shows.
Yeah, I was on. I mean, my buddy gave me a Dynamite D show that I called in.
Dude,
remember Dynamite D?
Dude, of course.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
Wait, you have it?
Somewhere packed away, but yeah, my this guy I knew, and a friend from high school's like a cousin, and he was a big wrestling fan, and we got connected. And we're just talking about growing up here in San Jose, talking about the Dynamite D show that came on that. What channel was that? It was like the Weather Channel.
It was like
a bunch of advertisements for like, right? Like, or something like that.
Like, yeah, it was like the community channel. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It just showed like, you would just buy the ad and they would just print what you wanted and just keep scrolling like all the way through.
And there's audio in the background.
Yes.
And there was a wrestling show called Dynamite D's.
The Cable Radio News Network.
Yeah, yeah. And then so we were talking. Me too. I was just randomly find it and sit there and just listen. And then I called in, and it was like the Cornette show I called in on. And he gave me he's like, I have all that. All those shows.
That's
on.
That's amazing.
And so he burned me a copy on a CD. And there's my little, you know. God, what grade it was in, like, just a kid. Just, Cornette, what about when you managed the Galaxians or something? I asked about the Galaxians in Memphis, and he's like, well, your listeners are very educated. He was all, you know, it was just kind of funny.
See, like, the people who are wrestling fans today who are younger than us,
mm-hmm.
like, they wouldn't know that. Like, my parents thought I was nuts.
I know, my dad, too. He's like, what are you sitting there watching these just words on the screen, you know? I'm like, it's just news. It's talking about wrestling. It's like, listen to the radio, Dad. I'm just listening to the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the scrambled pay-per-view. Like, I saw Hogan. I saw Hogan slam Andre through the scrambled pay-per-view feed of WrestleMania 3.
I remember, I used to always get the NWA/WCW ones because they're cheaper, like $19.99. Mm-hmm. And, you know, WWF is always a little more expensive. So I would always... watch it on Scrambled, and my buddy Chad Ng would tape him for me, or I would, you know, before that, I would actually wait till Coliseum Video came out, like 4 weeks later or six weeks later, whatever it was, to rent it. But I remember sitting there just listening to WrestleMania 9, and I was like, what? Hogan? What? You started, man? Beat Yokozuna? And I remember afterwards, I go outside. My buddy Chad Ng, who's now he's done with wrestling, we're shooting hoops in front of my house, and I'm like, you know what happened today? I just listened to that. And he's like, whatever. Sounds, you know, he's already done. He's beyond wrestling.
He's done. Yeah, he's not a wrestling fan anymore.
I'm sitting there just shooting hoops, thinking about like, how could they do that? That's not right. You can't just restart a match. You know, WrestleMania. It's just, I was just totally.
But Brett told him to. That's why.
I know. Jim Ross did say it, but I can't see it. So when I had to go watch the video and I saw him.
Yeah.
Well, that was dumb.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we had Wardlow versus Tony Nese. Very quick win for Wardlow, as it should have been.
As he needed, for
and,
sure.
And he cuts the promo and says, this is war. DeLo's world. I think he's just said that so that I wouldn't sing the Elmo's World song anymore.
Yeah, I think he and also like people said have lost momentum. So he's definitely a big Fight Game media, Fight Game podcast fan. So
I think so. Cause he started doing the thing where he's taking the shirt off before he gets in the ring.
Basically everything we talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're welcome, Wardlow.
All right. I want to read my favorite tweet from today. So earlier today, my good friend Stokely Hathaway tweets that he was going to put Bryan Danielson in the Patti LaBelle lock live on national television tonight. Oh, it got me. It got me big time. The Patti LaBelle lock. That was great. So Danielson and Paige, one of the best TV matches probably that we've seen on Dynamite. Danielson was working the arm because that's the arm that that Hangman throws the buckshot lariat in, mm-hmm. and so he's just working on it so that it's less effective. Danielson puts on the LaBelle lock and then had to transition armbar back to the LaBelle lock, and Hangman's arm was so damaged that Danielson was like sticking his chest out, like, "Come on, hit me!" And so he would hit him. Nope, not good enough. Hit him again. Nope. And so Danielson's showing that, you know, the arm's bad. So Hangman hits a deadeye for two count, goes to the top, misses the moonsault. Danielson then hits the flying knee and then goes outside for the tope. And when he went for the tope, I was like, did you not just see what happened to CM Punk? Dave Meltzer said that he thinks that Punk may have gotten hurt from the tope.
Mm.
Hangman catches him. And then he throws him back first into the apron edge. And then he hits his moonsault to the outside. So now everyone's like, oh, Hangman's winning this match. This is where we're going.
I didn't, because Chris Jericho told me he wasn't going to happen.
So then he sets up the buckshot. Danielson ducks the buckshot, rolls him up, and then does the bridge over for the pin. Yeah. Wins the match. Great stuff. The match was really good, but man, the last like 3 to 5 minutes was just nuts. These guys,
yeah, really good match. I did feel like Hangman had no fire coming into the ring. Like his entrance, he's kind of just, I don't know if you noticed that. I'm just seeing things, but
I feel like he's been like that since he lost the title.
It's true. I just, you know, so then I'm like, okay, I didn't for sure know Danielson's winning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously Jericho told me. But, yeah, I like the match. I like the finish. The finish is really good. Right when Hangman went for the buckshot, I'm like, okay, duck it. O'Connor roll, bridge.
And yeah.
I was like, oh, man, perfect. It looked great. I love that bridging O'Connor roll.
All right, so then we get the Jungle Boy and Christian video package, and Jungle Boy says, go get your surgery. And he wants Luchasaurus. He carried him for 3 years. People kept telling him that he was the weak link. And so it looks like they're building up to Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Did you know that Christian was hurt on Sunday?
No. Well, I know they did the angle with the arm. So I thought maybe something was up with that, because that was strange for a babyface to get his revenge for the big match.
Yeah. I think it was, God, it may have been Saturday, where Dave had said that he heard that Christian might be hurt for the match. And then when we saw, so the whatever the match was before Jungle Boy and Christian, they had the EMTs like roll a stretcher right in front of us. And I was like, huh, what is, I think it was during the four-way women's match. And I was like, oh, Sheeta's going to go out on a stretcher, so it's only going to be three women. But no, that didn't happen. And so I was like, ah, that was weird.
Hmm.
And so it was for the next match, which was for the Jungle Boy match. Like, they had like put that thing together like 20 minutes before it happened. But yeah, so once I saw what the angle was, I was like, oh, this is kind of what Dave was talking about, that he's too hurt to actually have the match. Mm-hmm. And then they did the angle.
You know, I was thinking like, All Out, it's, you know, 4 hours.
Yeah.
It'd been kind of cool if they would just make, and plus, I guess that's 4 hours, right? With the pre-show.
Yes. No, five. Yeah, five.
5 hours, excuse me. You know, like maybe for these special pay-per-views, if they can get clearance from, TBS?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do like a 2-hour Rampage and make it, you know, heavy with these big matches, you know?
That's actually a pretty good idea.
Like, and then like...
Do like a Sunday Rampage or something?
Oh, no. Like, that Friday's fine. Like, just do like the Friday of, you know, Rampage. And then that's like, it's part, because it's in this, usually Rampage is live in that same building they're going to run the pay-per-view, right?
Yes.
So I'll just do like a, like make it as big, like a special, like a, you know, I'm trying to, how I'm saying it, extension of the pay-per-view, but it's on free TV, but you're not giving the big, big money matches, but you're giving, you know, some of the undercard matches, you know, like you do Jungle Boy and Christian on this match, you do the angle on TV and you shorten up your pay-per-view. And same thing with Athena and Jade could have been on television, right? Didn't have to be on the pay-per-view, and that match stunk at the pay-per-view anyways. Might as well stick it on free TV. So,
yeah, they'll get heat for that one, though, if they did that.
They want 3-hour pay-per-views. People complain about WWE having... Remember back in the WWE's doing these long-ass shows?
Yeah.
People were complaining. I mean, AEW's doing these long-ass shows, too. And also, they kept doing all these video packages, too.
But... The AEW fans are happier with the wrestling than the WWE fans were happy with the wrestling for those long WWE shows. Because it was like long-ass, boring matches that we were having to sit through where nothing happened. That was the problem with those WWE shows. So what do you think of this Stokely group? Because he and the crew came out. W. Morrissey looked like... A very tall AJ Styles with a beard, with the hair straightened, and
lumberjack Morrissey.
Yeah, like I'm assuming because
when did Cisco join the group?
Lee Moriarty. Do you have green hair?
Yeah, I thought it was Cisco. I was like, oh shit, I haven't seen that guy since I saw him at Blockbuster when I was at in LA.
Thong, the thong, thong, thong.
He was running a movie.
He's tiny, huh?
He's tiny.
He was like, I think he's like 5'3 or 5'4.
One reason I noticed it is because he's two big bodyguards next to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell are these dudes here? I was going to ask him, are you wrestlers? And I saw a little Cisco. Cisco. Yeah.
I love Cisco so much. So all the guys were there. It doesn't look like they're with MJF. So are they just like hired hitmen? Is that what the angle is, or is that what the story is for this group?
I guess it's I don't want to see MJF associate with these guys. Maybe it's like the Butcher and the Blade with MJF. Mm-hmm. He would always hire them to do some stuff, right? Maybe it's the same thing.
I mean, because Stokely was not with Jade, as far as I remember, on the pay-per-view.
No, they kind of separated. He separated from that. But Layla Gray, who Jade does not want around, is still with her.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I think Layla Gray is going to have to win Jade's love. I think that's the long storyline here. She's going to have to win her love.
Wonderful.
All right. Rampage for Friday. Samoa Joe's on the show. Sammy versus Darby in the wild card round of the Grand Slam tournament. Oh, by the way. Rampage is going to be 2 hours for Grand Slam as well. So they're going to have 4 hours worth of Grand Slam, which will make Rampage a better show, I'm sure, because they'll have better matches.
Yeah.
Serena Deeb versus Madison Rayne, and then Claudio versus Dax, which is a really good match. But still, I don't think that this is going to do a fantastic Rampage number. So they still got their work cut out for Rampage.
And... it's a good match. Another good match. I mean, it's a good match. It's a good wrestling match.
Yes.
But what does it do for Dax? Other than having another... We know he's a good wrestler. What about FTR as a tag team?
Maybe it makes him happy as a human. He just likes doing these matches.
I know it makes him happy, but like, let's also, you know, feature FTR. And maybe... I don't know. It's a weird deal. But
yeah. Then on Dynamite, we're going to have Jericho and Danielson and Moxley versus the winner of Sammy and Darby. So two big matches for next week's Dynamite.
I'm hoping Darby wins. Not Marks over Moxley, but just...
Yeah, over Sammy.
Because Darby needs something.
I would agree with that. And Sammy's a chicken shit heel, so he'll be fine.
Yeah.
At Grand Slam, we have one match so far, which is Swerve in Our Glory versus the Acclaimed, but it will also be the title match. So, I mean, Grand Slam technically should be a pretty big show. They got two big title matches on the show. And
yeah,
the only thing that's going to suck is we're going to have to go through commercials for these matches, which, you know, I just find the pay-per-view matches are... When the good pay-per-view matches happen, they're better than the TV matches because we see everything and we don't have to watch picture-in-picture or go to commercial. So that's the only frustrating thing, but, you know, it is what it is.
You know, we didn't talk about? We didn't talk about Stokely beating up that production assistant.
Yeah, he beat up the guy who told him that, you know, we don't have a lot of time here, buddy.
Oh, this sucked. I mean, it looked so fake, right? And, like, no one's helping this guy out. This guy's being assaulted. He's not a wrestler. No one's coming out to help him until, like, finally after they're done beating him up, here comes all these, like, security guards. And
why do you think they're having Stokely get violent? Because he grabbed Tony Schiavone last week, and now he's decking the camera. He's not like a wrestler.
Maybe he's been too cute because he pops you, right?
With his pop culture knowledge.
I haven't seen him be a good manager yet. He can talk, but I haven't seen him be a good manager yet. But then again, like, look, get your guys over. Like, do stuff to get your guys over. But I don't know this group. I mean, I love the Gun Club, but I feel like they would be better with their dad.
Yeah.
And Lee Moriarty is a good technical wrestler, but he's boring. And W. Morrissey, I like him in Impact, but for some reason, he's not really standing out yet in AEW. I know he's just got there last time, but last time we saw him, he lost. Right? I mean, the first time we saw him, we lost to Wardlow. So what's the big match for him? You know, I don't know. I just don't get this group. And Ethan Page. He's in this another group.
You know, was he out there? I didn't even notice him.
Yeah, that's a bad thing, right? Yeah. He was out there though. Yeah. Well, I was just fascinated by Cisco.
I think you were fascinated with Lee Moriarty's hair. I was fascinated with Cass's hair W. Morrissey's hair. I was like, why did you go for the straight hair here?
I was impressed by, actually, I saw not Colton Gunn, but Austin Gunn getting bigger. He's getting, looks like he's filling out.
You know the problem with those guys getting bigger?
Mm-hmm.
There's just, people are gonna talk. They're gonna be like,
yeah, they say that guy, you gotta go eat what they're eating at their house. They got the horse meat and all that good stuff.
All right. Main event was Wheeler Yuta against Daniel Garcia in a pure rules match for the pure title. They didn't explain the rules.
They quickly talked quickly through. They didn't have no graphic.
Yeah.
They really didn't focus on the rules. Like enough to where they're getting over the match. I still, these people that don't watch Ring of Honor don't really understand what a pure rules match is.
Right.
So,
I mean, I've only seen a few. It's not like I've seen like a ton.
I like the match itself. Yeah. I just think Tony Khan's using this belt as the Intercontinental title belt or whatever. But then again, there's also the TV title, which is there's no ROH TV, you know?
Yeah.
So they should probably combine these two belts and with the ROH TV title and the pure title together, just, you know, let one go.
So the rapper West Side Gun brings Daniel Garcia out.
Big deal in the rap game.
Okay. You know how I know the West Side Gun is, you remember that WWE announcer? I think his name was Greg Hamilton.
Nah, it sounds like a figure skater.
So he was a WWE announcer.
The Blue Jays or something.
And I think West Side Gunn may have like sampled his voice on a song or on a skit or something. And then he wrote like this Instagram post or a Twitter post where he was like really negative towards the West Side Gun. Like, don't ever use my voice again on your stuff.
I remember this. And I remember that Greg Hamilton guy now. I remember all this now.
Yeah. Yep. So that's West Side Gun.
He's no Bushwick Bill.
I love that that's your go-to for every like rap reference, Bushwick Bill.
My favorite.
From the Ghetto Boys.
My favorite.
Do you remember when Bushwick Bill was on The Martin Show?
We talked about this before. Yes, I did. I remember. I used to like love any kind of when anytime Bushwick Bill would pop up, you know.
Yeah, he was trying to, he was mad at Tommy because Tommy stole his girl and everyone, you know, thinks that they could take stuff from him just because he's a little guy.
I remember popping big time when he was on the Dr. Dre CD in that little interlude or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's right, damn it.
Dude, Bushwick Bill, he's awesome. All right, so there was an insane German suplex off the top rope.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, I thought Wheeler was done after this. But these guys are like made of rubber, it seems, because they just bounce right back.
Well, William Regal did explain that one time, the way you turn your neck to check yourself.
Exactly. Just awesome submissions. Both men did grab the rope once to break up the submission. Mm-hmm. I think Wheeler used one of his fist punches. Yeah. So he got warned. He couldn't use the second one or else he'd get DQ'd. And then Garcia kept going back to, I think, what do they call it? The Dragon Tamer?
Is that the his version of the sharpshooter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of leans back a little bit more.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Cool submission.
Yeah, so he gets it on Yuta a couple times, and Yuta's too far away from the ropes. And so what he does is he tries to grab Garcia's neck and kind of pull back on it, but he doesn't have any leverage. And I like that they sort of said that, like, he's trying to fight out of this move, but he doesn't have leverage. Like, you see this in UFC fights when a guy's stuck in a submission and then he kind of tries to grab his own submission, like grab an ankle or grab an arm. And it's just like, it's sort of like a last ditch effort to try and do something. But you know that he doesn't really have anything. Mm-hmm. And then Wheeler Yuta taps out. So he taps out to the Dragon Tamer. Daniel Garcia is the new champion. And, of course, as you know, something's going to happen here because Jericho, that's his boy. He says, you know, you got to do this on your own. We're not going to come save you, which it's a pure rules title match. You're not supposed to do that anyways. But Wheeler goes up to him, shakes his hand. Bryan Danielson comes out. Danielson grabs the belt, looks at it almost as if to say, I may want to wear this thing around my waist one of these days, but that day is not now. He puts the belt around Garcia's waist. I thought Yuta should have kind of like maybe threw a look at Danielson, like, what the F, dude? But he didn't. He just sat in the corner. He was, you know, he was exhausted and he was pissed off for losing. And then Jericho comes to the stage with the big eyes. How dare you, Bryan Danielson, scoot in on my guy? How dare you try and steal my guy, Bryan Danielson, as they are building up for this match next week? And that was the end of the show.
I actually liked it.
Yeah,
I liked
good.
It. I liked that closing end there, and thought that was really good. And I like that. I don't know if Bryan purposely did this, like they wanted this. But like he sees Jericho and almost like starts laughing a little bit. Like, so I'm taking it as like
Bryan Danielson is a very excellent troll at the same time. Like he likes to be a dick sometimes. So I like that.
Yeah. So no, I like the match. I like the ending, the close of the show. I thought that was good. I thought, you know, like you said, considering the 2 days, the, you know, after the turmoil and all that stuff and all calling people back and having Jericho and Moxie cut their vacation short, you know. That he did a good job this show overall.
Yeah. You know. John Muse, before the show started, he sent me this. John Muse is he's always thinking about booking and putting stuff together. He sent me a spreadsheet or a screenshot of a spreadsheet. 8-man AEW G1 tournament, taking them all the way through full gear. That was his creative idea. And I was like, holy crap, he put all the guys in it. He did the wins and losses, and he had, I forgot who he had in the final. Let me see if I can figure it out. I think he said the reason to do it was to also put important matches on Rampage. You'd have the final at full gear and the winner to face MJF on the same night. It would come down to Danielson and Omega. If Omega is gone a long time, Moxley goes to the top and Claudio replaces Moxley. Goes to the top pool. Because he had two different pools. And then he said, you have the big G1 final, G1 winner versus MJF for full gear. You know, he's like going full New Japan on them. I think Tony, I'm sure Tony thinks like the G1 is probably pretty cool, but he also probably doesn't want to be a copycat at the same time.
Yeah, he didn't want to blow a lot of big matches, you know, on free television, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think, it's a cool idea. MJF, I like the idea of what they're doing, at least they're setting full gear for MJF getting the title shot, you know, so that's going to be good. And this, you know, is it Danielson? And is a heel coming out of that, or there's some tension? Maybe there's this tension coming out of that match. Danielson's still a babyface going to match with MJF, you know. So
I am still leaning towards Moxley just because of what they did at the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
Moxley and MJF.
Going right back to that, though, I thought that'd be kind of predictable, but what the hell?
It very much might be, and maybe they're making it super predictable, so when Moxie does lose, we're like, what the hell? I just thought, like, when you call yourself the ace, that's kind of like, you know, that he cut that promo, and I was like, oh.
But if Danielson does something, or something has the Blackpool Combat Club, that's going to take away from MGF versus the champion, right? Just dancing. So, yeah, it's a tricky. Maybe Darby Allin beats Moxley. I don't know.
No, I mean, that would be wild.
Who knows?
But look, that's the intrigue, and Tony's doing what he can based on the cards that he was dealt. And I personally, even though, you know, he's the boss and he's going to take all the criticism, a lot of this is his responsibility. But I kind of feel bad because I had just talked to him and he was so excited to have all of his talent back except for Adam Cole, and hopefully Adam Cole's coming back soon. But all these guys back, all the women are straight, and he was just like, now we can finally go. And I'm assuming he had all those ideas for the summer that he had put on hold, and maybe they were just going to be pushed out now, and he was just like so fired up. And then all hell broke loose on Sunday night, and he's got to do it again. And then, so the other question that I was going to ask him again, because I've already asked him before, which is, do you have a plan B? You know, do you put together a plan B just in case things go wrong? Because the first time I asked him that was during the pandemic, and he said no. He said he just trusts his instincts to pivot whenever he needs a pivot. Mm-hmm. And so I should have asked him that. That's two questions I screwed up on. See, you know the problem? I was trying to play producer a little bit. I was like, we can't go too long. Like, I got to make sure we get this in. And I'm looking at the clock, and I was just thinking more like a producer. But I screwed up. I had two questions that would have been the questions of the weekend. I would have been those would have been the talked about questions, and I just blew it, man.
There'll be another chance soon, and then you can get all those in.
I know.
You won't let the opportunity pass by next time.
Just like Mox. Shot.
You missed. And big players want the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. We are done here tonight. That was fun. A lot of fun over the weekend. And, you know, when stuff happens in wrestling, it's good for us because it's fun to talk about. Just, you know, like, imagine talking about Raw for Monday, where I was so disappointed in that show. I was like, man, we get this great pay-per-view. Such good wrestling, and then on Monday it's like, oh, The Miz against Bobby Lashley in the cage, and Dexter Lumis is choking him out at the end of the show. It's like, oh, like, you guys had a great up, but they did another great friggin' rating, so they're doing something right.
I couldn't get through Raw. I started watching a little bit. You know what I've been watching again? NXT.
NXT, I know.
It's like, it's kind of feels like the black and gold, a lot of good wrestling, a lot of the greener talent is kind of pushed the level up show, I think. And there the UK talents flooding in and are just adding to the quality of the show. And there's more to come of the UK talent. So they kept a lot of the people from what I understand. So, you know, so more to come on that front. And yeah, it's a solid show. And this past show was really good. There's, you know, a couple moments, you know, there's some goofy things. There's like a lawyer girl. She's a fantastic athlete, but it's still kind of a cheesy gimmick, you know, Schism, whatever they're called, you know, those guys are doing their thing, but overall it's, you know, Axiom and Nathan Frazier had an awesome technical wrestling match. JD McDonough, the former Jordan Devlin, and Wes Lee had a really good match. Tyler Bate and Bron Breakker teamed up against Gallus. That was good. So some good. Oh, shoot. Roxanne Perez, the former Roxy, versus Miyako Satomura was really good. It was a hell of a show.
Okay. But you know why I stopped watching?
I know. Me too.
They're not stereotyping Asians anymore?
No. That's only on Level Up. No, I don't know. I did watch it. I kind of checked in on a quick Level Up episode just to see what's her name? Sol Ruka.
Uh-huh.
She's a surfer or something, or great athlete. She was really technical. She looked like $1 million and just her poor promo was like you could tell she's reciting lines. But
yeah.
They have a brewing division for the women again coming up. Like, but if these athletes could find the passion for wrestling, it's going to be a hell of a division, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
All right. Well, we will be back next week talking a pretty big Dynamite with two of the Grand Slam tournament matches to get to the finals at Grand Slam. So for John, I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.